Okay. All right. Again, this evening's study is going to be, and then shall that wicked be revealed. We find this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. Hang on a second. I lost pal talk here. Oh, there it goes. All right. All right. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first. The King James uses the word falling away. And of course this falling away is a complete falling away. Apostasia, to go apostate. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalted himself, and who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so the focus here tonight is the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition, and then shall that wicked be revealed. You know, this word way here, it talks about being taken out of the way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6, we read, and now you know what withhold it, that he might be revealed in his time. So there's something that's going to be revealed. The wicked are going to be revealed in its time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. This wickedness, iniquity is already working. And for the entire church age, for 2,000 years. But it's at the end of the world when God is going to reveal this to us. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. You know, this word way is the very same word midst or from among. Let's look at a few verses for this word. We read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 49, we read, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth, or the messenger shall come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just. This word among is the very same word as the way. We might be able to even tie this into something like the wayside, but in any event, in the midst or amongst them. We read of this word again in Luke chapter 21:21. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. And maybe we'll look at a couple of more. We read in Luke chapter 8 verse 7, when the Lord is telling the parable of the sower, and it says, some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and with it and choked it. In Matthew 13:25, we read, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." Again, this word "among" is the same word as "way," the midst, from among the wheat, and went his way. So it is very interesting in the verses that we're finding here. We also find "among the wolves" in Luke 10:3. Go thy way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves, in the midst of wolves. So this makes this word quite interesting now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity already doeth work, only he who now let it will let, until he be taken out of the way." Taken out of the way, or out from the midst, or out from among them. "And then shall that wicked be revealed." And this I perceive is focusing in on the continual being taken out of the way, and ultimately the body of Christ, which of course has the light of the gospel, has the continual. Interesting the way this word turns out to be. Now, and when it's take when this is taken out of the way, "then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the midst of, with the brightness of his coming." We look at this word now, or phrase, the son of perdition. Earlier in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read in verse 3 now, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we read, the only other place we read of this phrase, the son of perdition, is in John chapter 17, verses 11 through, I think just 12, a couple of verses here, we read, "And now I am no more in the world." Here the Lord is praying to the Father concerning his people, the children of God, and he speaks of the son of perdition here, and which is Judas. He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." That's the body of Christ. That's the body of believers. That's his chosen. "And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Now the focus is on Judas, and Judas represents the unsaved in the church, the wicked in the church. Here is the son of perdition, the son of hell. This word perdition is used as destruction, damnable, as in damnable heresies, damnation. We read, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read in verse 1 where this through 3, this word is used quite a few times in these few verses. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies." Now this word "damnable" is perdition. This as the same as in son of perdition. The same word is used here is in damnable. And the Lord is speaking of those false teachers among them who will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord which bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And again, this word "destruction" is also the same word as "perdition." And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And this word "pernicious ways" is this word used as "perdition," and it is a repeated word. It's a redundant word. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this Greek word. apallalia, maybe. But as we read it here, many shall follow their apallalia, or their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness shall they with framed words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And again, this word damnation is again the very same word, apallalia, which is perdition. So we see the focus of these damnable heresies around this word perdition, and it's being brought in by the false prophets and the false teachers that are among us. We read this word perdition comes up a couple of times in Revelation 17, where we read in verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is, that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So here again we have this picture, and of course the perdition brings us to the idea of hell, the son of perdition, damnation, destruction, damnable heresies. And so this is what is being brought in. Hell is being brought in by the false prophets. And we see the focus here of what's going on with these false prophets and the false teachers of bringing in these heresies. And here back to John 12, John 17, verse 12, where the Lord says, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And we read about this this wicked being revealed in his time. This man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition that we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read of the man of sin also in Isaiah chapter 14. We read from verse 12 through about 15 or 16, where Satan, the Lord is speaking about Satan, and we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So we're seeing the works of Satan in the wicked. The man of sin is the unsaved, and that which Satan is working in their hearts. Satan is directly identified with the man of sin. We know that Satan works in the hearts of unsaved people, and that's where he dwells, and that's where the devils live and exist in this world, within the hearts, the place of conversations. And he dwells within the flesh. We read of the wicked now, which God identifies again. Then shall that wicked be revealed in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. So the Lord is giving us information on the man of sin. He's talking about the son of perdition, and then he talks about the wicked being revealed. And of the wicked, we see that that Christ was numbered among the wicked. In Mark 15:28, we see, "And Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, He was numbered with the transgressors." And this word transgressors is the very same word wicked. Christ was numbered among the wicked. We read in Acts 2:23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And so here is a picture of the Lord speaking of the wicked crucifying him, the unsaved. It was the church leaders of the Old Testament that delivered him up. And here we read, "And they have taken him by wicked hands." Wicked is being identified with the unsaved in the church, the false prophets and the false teachers, those bringing another gospel, claiming it in the name of God, in the name of Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:8, we read, "But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men, but for the lawless." Now this word lawless, again, is the very same word wicked that's used for wicked in 2 Thessalonians. And disobedient, for the ungodly, and for the sinner, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." So, here the Lord is talking about the lawless, and the ungodly, the unholy, the profane, and anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. And so the idea is here that they are passing things off for sound doctrine, anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. In 2 Thessalonians 6:14, we are told, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord," and the word concord means agreement or harmony, "what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, during the church age, when the gospel was going forth, and the body of Christ was preaching from the pulpits and teaching the Bible, and the unsaved were in the seats listening, coming under the hearing, and some of them responding. Many are called and few are chosen, but few are chosen. Some were responding, but the unsaved were pretty much in the seats listening and hearing. And as long as the body of Christ was in control, then that church was bringing the true gospel, and there was no assault. And Christ was ruling with a rod of iron. The unsaved were being ruled with a rod of iron. They were being maintained and held by the law, restrained the evil was restrained. And but there was never a partnership in the churches between the body of Christ and the unsaved. And as time went on, and of course many times throughout the church age in the past, some churches have went apostate here or there. But here at the end of the world particularly, we have such the great apostasia that the Lord warned us against and said, let no man deceive you by any means, that the day of the Lord will not come except there first come the great apostasia first. And the man of sin be revealed, the wicked will be revealed. And so here we are when the church is during the end of the church age, and we're sitting and listening to people and preaching a gospel that is not true. You might have a teacher here that was teaching the truth, and a teacher here that was teaching a lie. And here, this is what God is talking about. They had power, they had authority. What agreement hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath the believer with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And so we look throughout and we wonder who was saved. Who is a child of God? Who's bringing the true gospel? And we wonder sometimes, whether people are responding. Sometimes they respond in the right way, and sometimes we scratch our head on the way they respond. Their lack of understanding, and then of course now came the commandment to come out of her, and few responded. Then shall that wicked be revealed, the son of perdition. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 12, we read, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Moreover, he called for the famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. So the Lord has protected the body of Christ. The anointed, of course, is Christ himself. He is the anointed. But the body of Christ is also anointed because it has Christ within us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within us and bringing the true gospel. We read in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 9, they that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. The hand of the pitiful women had sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of thy people. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger and hath kindled the fire in Zion, and it hath devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. For the sins of her people and the iniquity of her priest that shed the blood of the unjust in the midst of her. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood, so that men could not touch their garments. They cried unto them, depart ye, it is unclean, depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, they shall no more sojourn there. Now God gives us another picture of these things in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 24, we read, another parable set he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? And whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye enter, while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. So this is the picture of the church age. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, and that's where we've just come through, is the harvest. I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so, you know, we look at the Great Tribulation and we see the judgment that has come upon the church. The body of Christ has remained in the church through most of that time period. Even though they had lights in their houses, in their dwelling places, and they were fed, and they didn't have a famine, and the famine was going throughout the corporate body, yet the body of Christ continued for quite a long time. We went through the first part of the Great Tribulation, which was 2,300 days, and then from 1994 on to when we departed out sometime in late 2001, again, another period of time, some 7 years, I think it was. And here the Lord says, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so the tares are gathered first, and we see that in the way of judgment. Judgment coming down upon them, a famine coming down. And then they're denying and rejecting the truth, and God looses on them Satan himself. And as Satan is loosed, and we read on, Satan is loosed, and then the two witnesses are killed, and they continued still for a period of time. They layeth in the streets 3.5 days. They layeth in the streets, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, even where our Lord was crucified. So for a period of time, we continued through this time period, yet we were still being fed, and we were being nourished, and we had light in our dwelling places. All at the same time, when all of this famines and destruction was happening all around us, and that seems to work out with this language here, that the wheat, that the tares are first bound, and then the wheat is gathered onto the barn. We read in Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And again, this word nations is family. And these families that God is talking about is the family of God, the place where the gospel is being preached, the place where the people is called by his name. Those are the families, those are the cities, those are the houses that we enter in. And all, they shall be hated of all nations, all of the corporate churches hated the truth that the body of Christ was bringing for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we know that this love that God is speaking about is the preaching of the gospel. You know, we were reading some verses yesterday, I think it was, where it talks about the body edifieth itself in love. And this love is the preaching of the gospel to the body, the sharing of scriptures. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And so when we come to fellowship, we come to fellowship with Christ. We bring the word, we talk about the word, we break the word, we share the word, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're interested in what the Father has to teach us, and he teaches us through the body. As we share scripture one with another, we are fellowshipping with Christ. And of course, we could do that on our own. We do that on our own when we sit at home and read our Bibles and meditate on his word. or maybe driving in the car and meditating on His Word, or listening to the Bible being read, and wondering about this verse or that verse, and so on. But when we come together, we are spending time with Christ if we are truly fellowshipping. True fellowshipping is edifying the body in love. And what happens here? Because iniquity shall abound. This iniquity is wickedness. Because wickedness, iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. You know, to wax cold, a candle that has no light on it waxes cold. If the candle is lit, the wax is warm. But there is no light. There is no true love and edification of the body. There is no preaching of the gospel. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We read in the Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and God identifies that bondmaid as the harlot, Jerusalem below, the fleshly, the earthly. The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. The free woman is the Jerusalem above, the spiritual, the elect, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which genereth unto bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, and bearest not, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Abraham had two sons, one from the bondwoman and the other from the free woman. The wicked is revealed, those who are of the bondwoman from those who are from the free woman. In Matthew 21, verse 28, we read, What think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. I will not. No, I'm not going. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto him, Truly I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go in the kingdom of God before you. So here we have a son that didn't go, and repented and did go. And we had another son that deceived and lied and said, Yeah, I'll go, and didn't go. Such is the son of the bondwoman, and the other the promise. You know, we have pictures in the Bible of two. We have Adam, the first Adam. We have second Adam. We have Cain and we got Abel. We have Isaac and Ishmael. And we have Jacob and Esau. We read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23, And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And we know how the Lord answered him, that he wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. Abraham had two sons. And that's the picture we see here, when the wicked is being revealed. The man of sin is to be revealed, the son of perdition, the children of the unrighteous, the children of the bondwoman, the wicked being revealed, the son of perdition. All right, I'm going to end it there. Tomorrow evening, I'm not too sure exactly which focus we're going to have, but we'll pick up another phrase focusing in on the book of Revelations particularly. Maybe if we can do some more work on that one, the Sea of Glass, maybe we'll work on that. All right, if anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections that could be made, feel free to pick up the mic.